I don't have the mic. All right. Chapter 1, the first step in God realization. Regarding the duty of a man about to die, Sukadeva Goswami says that such a person always chants and hears about Lord Krishna. He then describes the method of meditating on the Lord's universal form. Chapter 2, the Lord in the heart. Sukadeva describes Ashtanga Yoga, whereby a yogi meditates on the Supersoul within his heart. Chapter 3, pure devotional service, the change in heart. Sukadeva then describes the path of worshiping demigods and recommends that everyone worship Lord Krishna, whether he be full of desires or desireless. Chapter 4, the process of creation. Parikshit asks about the creation, and Sukadeva prays to the Supreme Lord for empowerment to speak about the Lord's pastimes of creation. Chapter 5, the cause of all causes. Sukadeva relates a story where Narada Muni asked Brahma the same questions. Brahma explained that he creates the universe after the Lord creates all its ingredients and impregnates material nature with the seeds of the living entities. Chapter 6, Purusha Sukta confirmed. The Purusha Sukta prayer glorifies the Supreme Lord for being simultaneously one with and different from His creation. Everything rests on Him, yet He is aloof. By meditating on the Lord's universal form and by offering sacrifice with ingredients from the Lord's universal body, Brahma recreates the universe at the beginning of each of His days. Chapter 7. Scheduled incarnations with specific functions. The Lord accepts various incarnations to maintain the universe, to deliver conditioned souls, to encourage His devotees living in the material world. His pastimes provide enjoyable narrations for His devotees to discuss when He is absent. Chapter 8. Questions by King Parikshit. Parikshit asks questions that establish the philosophical basis of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Chapter 9. Answers by citing the Lord's version. Sukadeva answers Parikshit's questions by explaining that all knowledge can be obtained by performing devotional service, just as Lord Brahma did in the beginning of creation. Although ignorant when he appeared from the lotus, Brahma, by the penance of chanting a Krishna mantra, gained knowledge of the Lord, His abode, and the process to create the universe. After the Lord spoke to Brahma, the Chatur Sloki, the four seed verses of the Bhagavatam. And chapter 10, Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. Sukadeva describes the 10 subjects of Srimad Bhagavatam and the creation of the Lord's universal form and organs. Very good. All right, now please take your blank sheet of paper, make sure your notebooks are closed, and write down our two verses for memorization, please. Very interesting that the second canto is the shortest of all the Srimad Bhagavatam's cantos. There are 335 chapters, I believe, in Srimad Bhagavatam, spread over 12 cantos, which is an average of about 28 chapters per canto, something like that, 27, 28. So the second canto has only 10. And the first canto, as you recall, had only 19. Mm-hmm. So both of those are less than average. The 12th canto has just 13 chapters, and the 7th canto has 15 chapters. The 6th canto has 19 chapters also. And the rest are around that average of 25, 30, 90. And the 10th canto has 90 chapters. Yeah. Yes, it's like 3, yeah. Okay. So we're going to do a little summary quiz on the shortest of all the cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. This should be the easiest of all possible quizzes. Right? Okay, first question. Who speaks the first 21 verses of the second canto, and indeed most of the canto? Who is the person who speaks the first 21 verses of the second canto? And indeed, most of the second canto. Pardon me? Yes. who speaks the first 21 verses of the second canto, and indeed speaks almost the entire second canto? Who is the person who speaks those verses? Question 2. In those first 21 verses, the accoutrements of ordinary Grihamedi life, such as house, family, bank balance, etc., are referred to, things that cannot give protection to the living entity, are referred to by two words. It was in a verse that we studied. What are those two words? One is a noun and one is an adjective that describe all of these things that the conditioned soul thinks will protect them, but will not actually protect them. What is that description in two words? A noun and an adjective. An adjective and a noun in that order. See? Those things that the conditioned soul is very sure will protect them, but will not actually protect them. What are they called by the speaker? See? In the fifth verse of that, of the first chapter. Okay? Next question. I'm going to recite a verse in Sanskrit, one of the verses that we studied, and ask you to give the best translation that you can. Does not have to be word for word, just see if you can convey an understanding of the meaning of this verse. Okay? Akama sarva kamova moksha kama udharadi tivrena bhakti yogena ijeta purusham param. Akama sarva kamova moksha kama udharadi. That should give you a hint. This is what is the translation of that verse, or just the general meaning of that verse, as best. This is one that we studied in our class last week. Think about it. Listen carefully. It's a very simple verse. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udharadi. That should give you a hint. Tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Just got to know that word kama. What is the word kama? Okay, Naveen just blew that question for everybody. Okay, so give me the general meaning of that verse. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udharadi. Tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Okay, next question, number 4. When Lord Brahma was sitting on the lotus flower at the beginning of creation and seeing darkness all around him, he started climbing down the lotus flower, and then he heard two syllables. What were those two syllables, and what did they mean? What were the two syllables that Brahma heard at the beginning of creation when there was only darkness around him? And what was the meaning of those two syllables? That's a two-part question. Okay, next. Questions 5, 6, and 7. Name the three Vishnus involved in the process of creation of the material world. And spelling does not count. Just do your best. Okay, the three Vishnus that Tomohar Prabhu described in his class. And if for some reason, if you can't spell them or even approximately spell them, write down their functions. That will also suffice. Okay? The three Vishnus involved in the process of creation. We cite their names whenever we're offering something real quick, right? Three Vishnu, three Vishnu, three Vishnu, isn't that? One of them has three names. Any one of the three names will do. Okay. If you can't remember their names, you can write their functions and that will be fine. So either the name or the function. Or you can do both if you wish. But either one will suffice. Okay. Okay, and finally, questions 8, 9, 10, and 11. Next four questions. Either by quoting the direct meaning or in your own words, very simply, state what are the contents of the four Chatur Slokis, the four seed verses. Verse by verse, question 8 is, what was it, verse 33, 34, 35, and 36. Just, you can say it entirely in your own words, in a very simple way. Just what is the gist, the essence of the meaning of each of the four Chatur Slokis? If you can quote them all, fine, but it's not necessary. Just what is the essential meaning of each one? The second question was, how does the speaker describe all the elements of the Grihamedi's life, house, family, money, that the householder thinks will give them protection? He describes all these things as an adjective and a noun. The householder thinks this will protect me, but they don't. How does the speaker describe them in two words? It was in the verse that we read, the first day of the study of the second canto. Any other questions? Anyone need repeated? Anyone need more time? All right. If you would kindly pass your paper to the person on your left. If you don't have one, that's okay. Yeah, please. We're going to grade the papers now, actually. We're going to go through the answers right now. So just pass the paper to the person next to you so they can grade your paper. Okay? Yeah, that's the idea. Yeah, just you can exchange. Somehow or other, shuffle them up with somebody who you haven't bribed. Okay? Here you go. Maybe? All right, has everybody got somebody else's paper? What? Oh, well, then somebody must have two. Okay, does everyone have someone else's paper to grade? Somebody must have two because Jita doesn't have one. All right, now does everybody have one? Everyone has one? Okay, everyone has one paper and it's not theirs. Is that correct? Okay, let me have your attention, please. Okay, so who speaks the first 21 verses? Shukadev Goswami. Shukadev Goswami, very good. Okay, and then how does Shukadev Goswami describe all these accoutrements of Grihamedi life? What does he call them? Fallible soldiers. They think they can give you protection, but they can't. Fallible soldiers. Remember that verse? This is not graded on the curve. This is for the benefit of everybody who's studying, and it's we're not going to record the grades. Just keep this in your notebook. All right. And then, what is the translation roughly of that verse? Akama sarva kama va. Yes. Whether one is full of desires, sarvakama, or has no desires, akama, or mokshakama, whether he wants what? Liberation. Still, they should engage in tivrena bhakti yogena, devotional service. Udarati, yes, a person of broader intelligence. That's a detail we can omit. That's the basic meaning. Akama, sarvakama, va, mokshakama. Udarati. That was 2, 3, 10. Oh, that's all right. That's all right. That was a fair guess. But thanks to Naveen, we all now know the meaning of the word comma. I just have to, anyway, remind me later. I'll tell you a funny story from the Bhagavad Gita about this. Okay. Question 4. What did Lord Brahma hear on the lotus flower? Tapa. And what does that mean? Yes, it was actually in the injunctive, you perform austerity. Right? Tapa. that's all right. If they just at least got the tapa correct, perform austerity. Very good. Okay, question 5, 6, and 7. Let's say them in order of size, please. Okay, well, question 5. There are 3 correct answers for question 5. What are they? Mahavishnu, Karanadakshai Vishnu, and no one can pronounce that third one. Karanaravasayi. Karanaravasayi Vishnu. And Prabhupada uses that. So, yes, Mahavishnu, the big Vishnu, from whom all the universes are emanating. That is the correct answer for question 5. Okay? No. No. Mahavishnu is not the same as Chirodakshai Vishnu. In order of size, the second one is Garbhodakshai Vishnu. From his garbha, from his womb, poetically, metaphorically speaking. Yes, the lotus flower comes. Garbha means womb. So, womb. Garbhodakshai Vishnu. Derek, you find some very amusing answers. That's all right. Garbhodakshai Vishnu is the correct answer. Or, if you didn't know the Sanskrit name, the Vishnu from whom the lotus flower grows, on which Lord Brahma appears. Okay, and finally, question 7. Chirodakshai Vishnu, also known as Paramatma, Super Soul, correct. And that is his function. What's that? Yes, in charge of the mode of goodness. Yes, so Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshai Vishnu, Chirodakshai Vishnu. And that does not have to be in that order if they didn't remember it. That's fine. But those are the 3 correct answers. And if they don't know the Sanskrit names, the Mahavishnu from whom the universes come, the Garbhodak from whom Lord Brahma comes, and the Chirodakshai Vishnu from whom, who is also known as the Super Soul. He sits in everyone's heart as well as... Yes. Yes, and he also resides in the ocean of milk, and all the incarnations come through him as well. Chirodakshai Vishnu. Very good. Okay, question 8. What is the essential meaning of the first verse of the Chaturshloki? Would anyone like to say? Okay, that's it in essence. Yes, Krishna is saying that He exists before the creation, during the creation, and after the creation. That's a very abbreviated summary, but that, or some derivative of that, is the key point. That Krishna is always existing, before, during, and after. Knowledge? No. We'll leave this up to our referee Brahman here. Okay. Is knowledge an acceptable answer for that? Pardon?
Well, what I said was Jiva Goswami describes 4 verses.
Ah. Ah. Okay. All right. That's right. I will definitely accept that answer if you remember that from the class. Very good. Yeah, very good. Okay. So... who would like to say then, excluding that track, which is fine, who would like to give the summary of the second verse of the Chaturshloki? What does Krishna say in that verse? Rid.
Whatever.
Yes. Whatever you see, if it is not related to me, has no value. It's just my illusory energy. Yeah, that's the essential meaning. Whatever you see that's not connected to Krishna is Maya. Okay, that's the essence of the second one, Vigyan. Okay, and the third one, anyone like to offer a summary?
Krishna says a similar thing in Bhagavad Gita also, that all the elements of the creation enter into the cosmos and also they are beyond. Similarly, I enter into this material creation and also I am beyond. So this is like a rahasya of Krishna's personality.
Yes, this was a class, the verse that Mother Nanda spoke on yesterday, how Krishna is in the creation, but he's aloof from it. Just like all the elements are there, unmanifest, and then Lord Brahma assembles them. So Krishna is present in those elements, but he's also aloof. You understand? Okay, that's the third one. And finally, the fourth one, in essence, anyone remember? Right, question 11. One must seek out knowledge. Yes, a seeker of knowledge has to come to these realizations. And what was that after Rahasya is? Tadang. Tadang. There you go. Yes. Okay. Yes, that's kind of general, but that's true. That's all right. That's okay. The third one was Krishna is in the elements, but he's also aloof from them. Yeah, in the universe, but also aloof. Okay. Either one is fine. The point is he's in the material energy, but he's also beyond the material energy. Okay, how was that? Did anyone get them all right? Nanda Kumar and Tony? You got them all right? What is that? Tapa, perform austerity. Okay, very good. All right, excellent. So everyone please return the papers to their owners. And we're not going to grade these. This is just for your edification, just to help us remember the key points from the second canto. Okay? Okay, we're going to finish the class this morning. Chapter 10 of the second canon. And the first, 7 or 8 translations. Any questions about the quiz? Yes, Vaibha? Pardon me? Right. Who is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu? Yeah, that is Mahavishnu, another name of Mahavishnu. Okay, if you would kindly turn in your Srimad Bhagavatam at a glance book, turn to page 15. In this book, the Bhagavatam at a glance. Okay, this is a section that we did not cover in our classes, but I wanted to make sure we at least go over it. Right, so the after the answers, here we go, right there. After we get the answers by citing the Lord's version to Maharaj Parikshit's questions in chapter 8, then Shukadeva Goswami gives this very important summary of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam here in the first verse of the 10th chapter. So if you would kindly look at the screen, let's read this translation together. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are 10 divisions of statements regarding the following. The creation of the universe, sub-creation, planetary systems, protection by the Lord, the creative impetus, the change of Manus, the science of God, returning home, back to Godhead, liberation, and the sunum bonum. So now please, let's turn to page 15 and read these descriptions of each of these 10 sections. So first is Sarga. Actually, let's go ahead and put the Sanskrit up, shall we? On this verse. Yeah, thank you. Sarga means creation. And in the summary, Narayani says, creation of the ingredients of the universe. Mahavishnu creates the elements, senses, sense objects, the mind, and the demigods. Okay. And then Visarga, subcreation.
After the interaction of the ingredients created by Mahavishnu, Lord Brahma creates.
Third is Sthana or Sthiti. maintaining the planetary systems, the right situation for the living entities is to obey the laws of the Lord.
Posana, protection of the devotees. The Lord incarnates to encourage and protect his devotees in the material world.
Uti, the creative impetus. For the conditioned souls, the desire for fruitive work is the impetus.
6. Manvantar, the reins of Manus. The Manus give the right direction, Siddharma, how to go back to Godhead.
Snaku Kantha, the signs of God, the accounts of the activities of the Lord's creation and great devotees.
Eight, Nirodha, annihilation. When the cosmic devastation occurs, the Nityabhada, the living entities, merge into Mahavishnu along with their conditioned natures.
Mukti, liberation. The permanent situation of the form of the Nitya Siddha living entities after they have given up their changeable, gross, and subtle material bodies.
Asraya, the Samam Bonam, the absolute truth. Lord Krishna is the source maintainer, the destroyer of and destroyer of the creation. Throughout the Bhagavatam, the conclusion is established that Lord Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, the fountainhead of all incarnations and living entities.
So these are the subjects of Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, the last one, Asraya, is found primarily in which canto? In the 10th canto, right. And the other subjects are found in various places throughout the other remaining cantos. Pardon me? Yeah, but they don't exactly correspond. Okay, please, if you would, let's go to the translations again. This is, taken from the first verse of the 10th chapter, but the first 7 or 8 verses of the 10th chapter are dedicated to the subject. Could we show those on the screen, please? Okay. On translations only, yeah. Sarga visarga stana stiti. Yeah. So why don't we just read these in unison? This will also help increase our understanding a little bit. Can everyone see? We're going to read verses 2 through 8. Just the translation. To isolate the transcendence of the sunam bonum, the symptoms of the rest are described sometimes by Vedic inference, sometimes by direct explanation, and sometimes by summary explanations given by the great sages. Okay, let's stop for just a minute. This makes sense? To isolate this important topic of Krishna through the Bhagavatam, these other 9 topics are explained in different ways, sometimes directly, sometimes by references, and sometimes through the mouths of great sages. Many, many pastimes, many sections of the Bhagavatam are, you know, we come to Vidura is saying this, Maitreya is saying this, or the sage is saying it. So many different ways these other 9 topics are addressed. That's why it's important to read the first 9 cantos before reading the 10th canto. So it isolates the transcendence, nice phrase, of Krishna. To make sure, in other words, we don't just jump to Krishna's pastimes and think that he's an ordinary person. Okay. Number 3. The elementary creation of 16 items of matter, namely the 5 elements, fire, water, land, air, and sky, sound, form, taste, smell, touch, and the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin, and mind, is known as sarga, whereas subsequent resultant interaction of the modes of material nature is called visarga. Okay, let's stop there. It's rather technical, but this comes up again and again in the Bhagavatam. So these 16 elementary items of matter. And notice, first the 5 elements, fire, water, land, air, and sky. Then sound, form, taste, smell, and touch, the objects of the senses. And then the senses themselves, the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and skin. That makes 15. And then the mind is the 16. There's also intelligence and false ego, and pradhan. Right? So Just, I want to make sure you get the connection between the object of the senses and the senses themselves. And then there are additional senses. These are the knowledge-acquiring senses. What are the working senses? Arms. Genitals. Anus, is that one? And voice. And the voice. Yeah, five working senses, five knowledge-acquiring senses, five objects of the senses, the eight gross and subtle elements of matter that are listed in Bhagavad Gita, plus pradhan, the whole mess unmanifested. That makes 24 altogether that are listed elsewhere. This is Sankhya. So, okay. So everyone sufficiently confused with these? Okay, good. And by the way, those elements are the sarga, the creation, and then the visarga, when they're assembled, that's called the sub-creation. Okay. Next, translation 4. The right situation for the living entities is to obey the laws of the Lord and thus be in perfect peace of mind under the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The manus and their laws are meant to give right direction in life. The impetus for activity is the desire for fruitive work. So this verse covers several of the elements. Which ones are mentioned here? Maintaining the planetary systems. Good. Yes, protecting the devotees and the creative impetus. Uti. And what else? The manus? Yes, the manvantara. So that single verse includes 3, 4, 5, and 6. Yeah. Very good. And then translation for 5. The science of God describes the incarnations of the personality of Godhead and his different activities together with the activities of his great devotees. That's, yes, Ishanukata. All right. Then number 6. The merging of the living entity along with his conditional living tendency with the mystic lying down of the Mahavishnu is called the winding up of the cosmic manifestation. Okay. And liberation is the permanent situation of the form of the living entity after he gives up the changeable, gross, and subtle material bodies. So this takes care of 8 and 9. Right? That first one, first half of this, merging of the living entity with Mahavishnu, Nirodha, annihilation. So it talks about how the universes are manifested, maintained, and then destroyed. Okay? And this Nirodha means when everything goes back into Vishnu. I was thinking about this Big Bang, you know? It is interesting how modern science is discovered by, through Einstein's work, they figured out that the universe is expanding. And this background noise, they found this background noise also that is related to that somehow. Anyway, what's that? Okay. So it's interesting. All this physical evidence exists that the universe is expanding. And, of course, what does it say happens to the universes after they leave Mahavishnu's body? They start expanding. The problem is that they think, okay, it's expanding, so it must have come from a Big Bang. So they don't know the origin. Somehow the matter was also dense, and then it started expanding. And what they don't know is that at this Nirodha stage, in a while, it will all again contract and go back where it came from. And then everything is destroyed, and everyone is put to bed while Mahavishnu inhales until he exhales again. Yeah. That's right. Sorry, this doesn't reach. Yes. So they're afraid because it continually expands. It's just going to. The necessary mass for it to collapse.
Yeah.
it's very sad, isn't it? I mean, you can understand why creationists, as they're called in Christianity, are looked down upon by most scientists, because they have this very rudimentary scripture which says God created the earth in 7 days or 6 days, and then seventh day he took a break because he was tired. You know, that's basically what it says. So, and they estimate, based on the Bible, that the earth is about 4,000 years old, or maybe 6,000 years old, something like that. And all of this geological evidence contradicts it, so naturally they have a very hard time defending that position. Our position, on the other hand, our scripture, is very consistent with what they're saying. In fact, it's much more complete. So they're finding out these things, which just give indirect evidence towards what the Shastra is already saying. The universe is expanding. Yes, it is expanding. Because it's still in that growth phase, but it will also contract. And if they could just understand this, Mahavishnu is just breathing. Also, that the seed, you know, the living entity being a seed, isn't that such simple science? When you plant a sunflower seed, it'll grow into a sunflower. So the whole life is contained in this little seed form. And all the elements of the seed are known. They've been chemically analyzed. Every component is there, but they cannot recreate it, and they cannot make a seed that will grow anything. So you would think it would be very clear to science. There's some energy separate from matter, but that also is beyond their ability to accept. So anyway, very good. This is the subject of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's what... Yes, Prabhupada said... When Prabhupada said, yes, anyone who says that material creation came by chance, you should kick on his face with a boot, with boots. So Prabhupada also said that I can say these things because I'm an old man, and they will just say, oh, he's old, he's a little grouchy. He said, we should not imitate. Professor, I kick on your face with boots. Don't try. Don't try this at all. You know, the Bhaktivedanta Institute, these devotees who are pursuing these ways to convince scientists about the validity of the Vedic scriptures, after much consideration, chose a very oblique approach. They chose not to put front and center, okay, well, here's the Vedas, here's what they say, you should accept it. Rather, they started saying, here are all the defects in what you're saying. You see, that whole book, Forbidden Archaeology, is a litany of all the falsehoods, or all of the contradictions that archaeological evidence shows and what the popular theory believes. So that, just you know, they did not come out with boots. They came out with chisels, just to undermine the basis. Let's read this last translation, shall we? Number 7. The Supreme One who is celebrated as the Supreme Being, or the Supreme Soul, is the supreme source of the cosmic manifestation, as well as its reservoir and winding up. Thus, he is the supreme fountainhead, the absolute truth. Jai. The sunam bonam. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.